shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
Congresswoman, how important is a public option for you to support it?
I don't know, not having been there and not seeing all the facts.
Chief, when you said she admitted to the murder, was that there at the scene when she's saying that killed
her? I can't be without socks. I can't wear a sweatsuit.
I don't know where my husband is.
Was he dressed as a male?
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. This is a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what the hell it's talking about, you know. And this is a news, talk, and entertainment show where truth is the bitch and everything else, just forget about it, okay? And this is a news, talk, and entertainment show that, yeah, you know, I want to stay on the air and I want to stay employed, but I ain't going to come on here and do some bullcrap tap dance because I'm a conservative or a liberal. And I'm going to, you know, and I'm going to use you people as a means to an end. And what's the end? Be rich. And how am I using you? Basically making you stupid? No, thank you. No, I, you know what? I got to live in this world just the same as you guys. And so that's really what the mission of this show is. And also to keep Bud sober.
Yeah, get that Mambo.
Good. Put the Mambo in the icebox. I happen to have a weakness for Mambo malt liquor.
Yeah, real good.
Yeah, I like it. Anyway, so on this show, that's what we do, and we do it every night. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, and on our website, philhendryshow.com, you can listen to live streaming audio, and you can hear that audio on demand tomorrow. You can hear all of our shows on demand at our website. You can listen to our show throughout the country on a variety of great affiliates, or you can watch our live streaming video, which is going right now. So you can watch the damn show as I sit here and sweat my ass off in this freaking pressure cooker.
Well, I got that fan.
But the fan you got me, man. What is? Look at that. I can show this to the folks at home on our video. Look at that fan. That's the fan that Bud got me. See this? This thing, this wouldn't cool off a gnat, man.
Yeah, but look at that. I can stick my finger in it.
So you can stick your finger in it. So what?
And look, I put my face in it.
Get your face out of the fan. It's got one of these fabric. It's got one of these fabric blades, you know. So. But that's where that's at, you know. And I suppose if I wasn't so cheap, I'd put central air in. But, hey, what would that do? Anyway, our number 877-876-PHIL. We have Doug Danger coming up at the bottom of the hour. In the world according to Doug Danger, Doug is a gay man and a gay journalist. And GLAAD gave out its gay awards. And so Doug's going to tell us what he thinks of all that gayness in only the way a gay guy can. A gay journalist, a gay man. Never mind. A woman living in the North Side Uptown neighborhood of Chicago is being sued for allegedly posting on her Twitter account a tweet that accuses her management company of being okay with moldy apartments. Now, understand what this story's about, guys, and we always like doing these stories having to do with the internet and anonymous tweeting. Now, I don't know, did she actually, was she anonymous or not? Well, let me find out here. Horizon Group Management sued Amanda Bonin on Monday for publishing a false and defamatory tweet on Twitter. That's what they're claiming, that it was false and defamatory. For all I know, it's true. Maybe their apartments smell like living death. Maybe if you move into a Horizon Group Management apartment, you might as well be sealed in a crypt with your own filth. I lived in an apartment complex. Oh, God. Oh.
Not that story.
Yes, that story. Yes. I lived in an apartment complex in Hollywood, Florida, when I was down there working for the great WIOD radio. And I'm telling you, you'd have to smell it to believe it. Honest to God, you had to. Because now, where I lived up on the seventh floor. But for some reason, one day or a series of days, I forget what it was, somebody said to me, you know, the quickest way to your car is to go through the downstairs. I said, okay. I walked down the hall of this thing, and it smelled like there were 100 diapers stuffed with baby dung just lining the hallways. Now, there was nothing there, but it smelled like the walls were filled with diapers, filled with full diapers.
Maybe they had that insulation. Yeah, it's possible.
No, they don't use baby diapers for insulation, man.
No, but, I mean, when they run out, they usually insulate a baby diaper. Yeah, and then they left it packed and fully loaded.
But they ain't going to take a baby diaper that's packed and fully loaded and insulate a wall with it, man. That's not how you do that, okay?
I don't know.
Yeah, I know you don't know. I worked in construction, did you?
Yeah.
No. I worked in the construction trade. Did you?
Yeah, but what about the fully loaded?
No, that's not what I'm asking you. Did you work in the construction trade?
No.
Okay, I did.
Did you put a diaper in?
No, I never put a diaper in, man. We used drywall. And we had studs. And we had, you know, fiberglass, all that crap. And we had all that, you know, illegal insulation that they used in the 70s that they don't use anymore. Anyway, I would walk down the hall of this thing on my way to my car and I'd just say, oh, baby, somebody open a window. And there were no windows. It was a sealed hallway with doors leading to apartments. I had no idea how people walked out into that hallway every day and got to their car without passing out from the stench. It was unbelievable, man. It had to be some violation of environmental law somewhere.
Well, you know, technically it's not a violation of environmental law because, in other words, it doesn't kill it. It won't kill a mouse or nothing like that, right?
What do you mean, kill a mouse?
Well, he means it'll kill an aminal.
No, it ain't going to kill no aminal, man. What I'm saying is it's got to be a violation of environmental law if something stinks like rotten death. Do you understand?
No, I don't understand. Unless they're going to kill an aminal, there's no reason. No reason, you know, to not have.
Well, yes, there is, man, because am I an aminal?
No, you're a man.
But I'm a person, right?
Yeah.
And if I'm walking down a hall and it smells as if I've been sealed in a crypt with thousands of filled baby diapers, you're telling me that I have no rights not to have to smell that?
No, because are you an endangered species? No, you are not. And right there.
Oh, well, you got me on that one, man. Well, I'm telling you right now, I think that they should have not only shut the whole apartment complex, which left me homeless, but I would rather live in the street than have to live in that stench. Not only should they have shut it down, they should have just blown it up, man, the way they do those hotels in Vegas. Just, boo, you know, have a party. Oh, God. Unbelievable. So Amanda Bonin posts on her Twitter account that the Horizon Group management apartment complex that she lives in stinks like death on wheels. Stinks as if Nefertiti's been in there. And, you know, every dead man, every dead pharaoh from here to yesterday. According to the lawsuit filed, though, by Horizon Group Management, because she said this on her Twitter account, and it was filed in Cook County Circuit Court, Bonin wrote an update that said, who said sleeping in a moldy apartment was bad for you? Horizon Realty thinks it's okay. I guess it's not anonymous because she's got a Twitter account with her name on it. Because Bonin's Twitter account is set to public, everyone following on Twitter can view the defamatory statement according to the lawsuit. Bonin was living in an apartment managed by Horizon Group Management. Horizon Group Management has been greatly injured in its reputation as a landlord, according to the lawsuit. I suppose that happens, and that's really kind of the point, Horizon Management Group. The suit seeks in excess of $50,000 in damages. Now, here's where I stand on all of this. Not only do I think Horizon should be allowed to sue, I also feel that you should be allowed to sue and obtain the name of anonymous commenters if their comment is defamatory and libelous. It doesn't make any difference whether they're anonymous or not. They're saying something that can damage your reputation. And so, therefore, you need to sue. Now, if the company or the web hoster doesn't want to give the name out, well, then sue their ass. Sue the guy that's hosting the website. Why do you think Juicy Campus got shut down? That cat that was running that figured, oh, well, I'm clean as a baby's rear end, man. Nobody could sue me because the Internet Law of 1996, whatever the hell that is, protects my ass. Well, guess what? No, it don't. That's why he shut that site down, not because of any other reason. He shut it down because he knew he was exposed. They can't find out who the people are that are posting these comments? Well, guess what? Now you're sued, man, because the law still holds. A defamatory or slanderous statement is just that. Now, here's the side that Amanda may want to look at. First of all, in order for something to be libelous, it has to be false. If they find out that the Horizon Management Group apartments that she lives in stink like running death, well, then Horizon can't say that their reputation's been damaged because their reputation is of a company that provides housing for people who enjoy living in crypts that smell of their own filth. And therefore, Horizon Management Group, or Horizon Group Management, or however they're, you know, calling it, your ass is up for grabs. How do you feel about that one, man? And if I were you cats, before you're filing lawsuits against Amanda Bonin, go on in and take a good deep whiff of what it is she's talking about. Like maybe you cats haven't been around for the last several years, you know? You've been greatly injured? Maybe. Maybe not. Because if she shows up with about 15 depositions from people saying that the joint stinks as if, you know, it smells as if somebody hasn't taken a bath, and maybe everybody in the place hasn't had a bath in thousands and thousands of years, you guys are going to have a hard time saying that your reputation's been damaged. That's numero one. And then number two, of course, you have to prove that your reputation's, but you have to find people yourself who think, oh, well, Horizon Group Management, that's the greatest thing since sliced bread. Man, I wouldn't live in any other apartment than a Horizon Group Management apartment. Why, I just love the smell of a baby's rear end, especially after it's just had a little bit of leaky Gerber's diarrhea. I just dig it a lot, man. You have to find a whole bunch of people who think you are the living end, baby, when it comes to apartments. And then they're going to say, and I used to like living there, but I don't like living there anymore because Amanda Bonin said that you cats run places that stink as if somebody, you know, somebody hasn't wiped in days. In which case, you got a case. You have a, you know, you can prove that to a jury or a judge or whatever the hell you think is going on. But before you start suing people, all of these landlords, they I love, especially these absentee landlords, these big companies. That's I got news for you, man. Nobody's on your side. Not anybody that's lived anywhere where you guys run things. 877-876-PHIL. Coming back, don't forget the bottom of the hour, we got Doug Danger. The GLAAD Awards, they gave good marks to HBO, Showtime, and ABC, but fails to CBS and NBC. We'll find out what Doug thinks about that on The World According To, coming up at the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry.
Phil, and a couple of stories that you might be interested in here having to do with gay, you know, straight guys being called gay. Apparently, Governor Rick Perry is accusing an opponent in Texas of slandering him because he says they've got a hidden phrase on their website that says Rick Perry is gay. Now, this is the same governor that wanted to secede from the union. I know he wasn't serious. Yeah, okay, sure. He wasn't serious, man, like I'll bet you he was. And when people finally clued him in, you know, you sound like an idiot. Then he, well, you know, I wasn't serious, really. Yes, you sounded stupid when you said that, man. Now his cat says that a website for U.S. Senator Kay Bailey Hutchinson contains hidden phrases, including Rick Perry gay. Now, you got to laugh at that. I don't know. It's funny. But anyway, Governor Rick Perry's campaign is accusing the Hutchinson team of being slanderous and of setting a negative and divisive tone. The two Republicans are running for governor in next year's GOP primary. The Austin American-Statesman reported on Thursday on the phrases. Hutchinson spokesman Jeff Sadowski said Hutchinson's campaign was not condoning those words and did not know thousands of people would be searching for them. He said they would be removed from the site. So in other words, because this story isn't clear, the website of Kay Bailey Hutchinson uses Google search so that when you enter in Rick Perry's name, the phrase Rick Perry gay will come up. Many of you who have used the search engines, a variety of search engines, know that certain phrases will come up. Are you looking for this? Because this is a very much searched issue. And apparently people, after looking at Rick Perry, maybe after the tea parties, I don't know, maybe it's because he's kind of a handsome guy. Maybe that automatically qualifies you as being gay, you know, which is one of the reasons why everyone is just rock solid on my orientation, straight, you know.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, so Perry, for whatever reason, Perry's name is searched in conjunction with the word gay. Now, when you use the search feature on the Kay Bailey Hutchinson website, just as if you were to use the search feature on a news site that I have called therealphilhendry.com. It's a news site, and we have a search engine there, and I think it's Google. So when you enter in certain phrases, those of you who may not be familiar, I know probably most of you are, you're going to get a variety of options. Do you want Rick Perry gay? No, I don't. Do you want Rick Perry Texas? Rick Perry, he's got horns, and only two people got horns. That's a steer and a queer, you know. Is it Rick Perry? You know, there's that whole, well, never mind. I don't want to get into that joke about the, yeah. So what's the problem? Well, they're saying because they're not particularly familiar, maybe they're not particularly familiar with how these search engines work, or maybe they are, and they're using it to, you know, dump some crap on Hutchinson. But either way, folks, this is another marvelous example of how stupidity combined with the opportunities that stupidity present to us makes for a wonderful sidebar in this Hutchinson and Perry, you know, campaign, but it don't tell us nothing about either one of these people other than the fact that the Perry people are a little dim when it comes to search engines, and Hutchinson's people ain't too bright either. Because maybe they would have taken the search feature off of their website or perhaps used another search feature or constructed their own. I don't know. Personally, if I was advising Kay Bailey Hutchins, I'd say don't worry about it, okay? Keep the feature up and let Rick Perry, let him wallow in his own paranoia about being gay. Is he married, by the way?
Oh, let me check.
Okay, because if he's not, he's queer. I'm joking around, Governor. You know me, don't you? You don't? I'm Phil Hendry. And I'm going to come to your next tea party, man, and I'm going to be there with you, and I can't really say that I'm going to enjoy myself, but I'll stand next to you, and anybody that wants to throw some crap on you, man, you just let me know, because I'll be with you for a while, and then I'm going on over to the, I'm sure you understand, the Cajun booth, where they have some dancing and concertinas. Now, the other gay story has to do with a coach of the University of Hawaii, I believe, football team, and this man, Greg McMacklin, had to apologize on Thursday because he used a pretty hard word, man, kind of a hardcore word to be using, even if you are talking to the press. I have to tell you, though, this is something that bothers me. Now, this guy is a football coach, and he's used to talking frankly and maybe not so politically correctly with other football players and writers and this and that. It's a very good reason for people to say the guy should not have said it, because if you're sitting around reporters, come on, man, you know. However, who are these reporters that just run off to their newsroom and say, he said the word F, you know? The word that he used, the audio is slightly difficult to make out in full. The coach says the phrase, little, and I'm quoting here, little faggot dance, end quote. So let's listen here. This is University of Hawaii football coach Greg McMacklin. And he is in some kind of, I believe he must be in some sort of a press venue. He's using a gay slur to refer to a Notre Dame chant. And I don't know what that chant is, but he describes it as a little faggot dance. Let's listen to this. We'll try to roll off some of these low ends because it's kind of tough to hear.
He had his guys, we do something special at Notre Dame, he said. And they get out and they do this little cheer. Like this, you know, little faggot. You know?
There it is.
And you remember Jason and Steven? So the guys are looking at me. You know, they're all looking and all trying not to laugh. And so I gave them the, don't write that faggot down. I was misquoted.
So you hear him, he said, don't write that, quote, little faggot dance comment. I was misquoted. He believes he's speaking to a group of people who've got his back. I guess maybe he thinks he's Newt Rockne. I guess he thinks this is back in the day when, you know, sports reporters did have the back of these guys and wouldn't, you know, say diddly. So they didn't. They ran back to their newsrooms. They reported it. And so the cat's got to apologize. The word, you know, quote, faggot, end quote, is a word that, you know, has been used for many, many years. I dare say, you know, decades, if not hundreds of years, to connote homosexuals. And it's derogatory. Now that we know this, and many gay people have said that it's as explosive and as damaging as the N-word, you know. And we know what happens to people who use the N-word. The only problem I got with all of this is I believe the coach when he says he's sorry, he didn't mean to diss. He's not a bright man. I don't think anybody talking in front of reporters should use that word, because you got to know what's going to happen, man. You know they're going to go back and they're going to report it. The only thing the guy is guilty of is being stupid. I don't believe, if he says he's not a bigot, I'll take him at his word, because I've heard that word used plenty of times by all kinds of people, many of them the most progressive. We'll be back with John Dillon.
Phil Hendry. Phil Hendry Show.
877-877-6-PHIL. 877-877-6-PHIL. And welcome back to our show. I recognized during the last segment that our video feed, the video cast that we're doing, we didn't have any audio in the last segment. And I apologize to people who were watching the video that we hadn't moved our cable in time so that, you know. I don't know where I am right now, but I know that we're going to do, we got Dr. Ron Tarner coming up. And really what he's going to be talking about is a high school that is going to be testing the students giving tests to students for STDs and pregnancy. And apparently they don't need the approval of the parents. Whether or not I've actually got this story here, here it is. A Portchester High School, Portchester High School in New York, gets ready for the new school year. Officials have signed off on a new service that will offer free testing for sexually transmitted diseases and even pregnancy testing to any students who asks, or to any student who asks. Like any other high school, we have teen pregnancy, so when a young lady comes down, we can offer a test and guide her and refer them from that point, said Superintendent Donald K. Carlisle. Carlisle said it's simply an extension of the comprehensive health services already provided to students. Students requesting the test will be able to receive them without needing parental permission, okay? Here is a couple of pieces of audio we have for you. CBS's Mary Calvey files this report, and she offers some details on this high school teen pregnancy thing, which is all the discussion.
Students requesting the test will be able to receive them without needing parental permission. Parents would also not be advised of test results. Dr. Deborah Gerson, a physician with Open Door, the group that runs the program, says that kind of confidentiality is essential.
There are times when they don't feel safe and they really need to have a place where they can come and disclose.
All right, and furthermore, two parents weigh in on the testing. Where is this? All right, here are two parents weighing in on this STD testing.
Some of them are embarrassed, and, you know, they could come to a counselor in school, a nurse that they trust. I think it's a good thing.
I would like in the future, if that's going to be the case on my children, to count on me. I would like to be, you know, my opinion to be counted on.
All right, here is Ron Tarner, Dr. Ron Tarner from Mountain Meadow Observatory in Colorado. Ron, how are you doing?
Well, Phil, I'm doing well, and I want to thank you very much for doing this topic. I think it's important, and I know there are a lot of people who are going to be educated further and making the right decision, I think, for our young people, because we've got a lot of teen pregnancy, and we have certainly a STD transmission going on at the high school level every bit as much as we do with adults, if not more so.
But the idea of this testing going on without parental consent, what do you think of that?
I think it's necessary because, first of all, I think you can get over that problem if you tell the parent that it is for the good of the students and that it's a more of an exercise, I guess, in youth. And gaining information. You know, information can be fun, Phil. I've always felt, as an educator and as a scientist, that we don't make education fun. And the concept that a young student is tested for STD without parental consent can be mitigated, can be made more palatable to the parent if you give it a feel that this is a fun exercise for the student. They're learning something about themselves.
Well, wait, hold on for just a second, right? They're learning something about themselves. It sounds different from for instance, they're learning something about themselves that they can vote, or they're learning something about themselves that someday they'll be citizens. This is, they're learning something about themselves, whether they got an STD or whether they're pregnant.
Well, but technically that is learning something about yourself. I know that the work that I've done with high schools, and we do a lot of clinics and we do seminars, they'll say, let's learn something about ourselves. Are you infected? You can say, let's learn something about ourselves. What is my IQ, for instance, right?
Okay.
Or you can say, let's learn something about ourselves. Are you infected with a disease that could be, that is bloodborne and could eventually migrate to the brain and cause early insanity or dementia? Let's learn something about ourselves.
Yeah, but do you understand what I'm saying? Let's learn something about ourselves from the standpoint, what's my IQ? Let's learn something about myself. What is my heritage? Why do I have blue eyes?
Yeah, that's all very valid.
But you're saying it's equally valid. Let's learn something about ourselves. Do I have a blood-borne disease that could migrate to my brain and cause early dementia?
Well, you are repeating it in an incredulous tone, Phil.
Well, I am a little bit incredulous that... That you're first of all, this doesn't address the question, why aren't the parents being informed?
Well, the parents are being informed. They're being told that the student, when they request the test for either gonorrhea or syphilis or HIV, which possibly could be full-blown AIDS by the time they get to our to the school clinic to have the test, or whether she is pregnant, or the kids will call it, if she's got a... She's got one in the oven, or however. We have to communicate this in ways that children are going to understand.
But one in the oven, that's, to me, that would, as a parent, I'd be offended.
But you're being informed. You're being informed. And I think that's the number one problem. Of course parents are being informed. They're being informed that if your daughter comes in to find out if she's pregnant or not, we're going to tell her. So they're already being informed.
No. It's not about being informed. It's about giving consent.
Well, I thought you said being informed.
What I mean is, they don't have to give their consent.
Well, they don't have to give their consent, but they are being informed. Spread out was initiated by the high schools of America so that teens could find out if they had a more about themselves and about what makes them unique and about what makes them American citizens and how they could further the greatness of this country. And that's what Spread Early is about, and Spread Out was...
But no, hold on for a minute. What is Spread Early?
That is the name that we give it when we talk to the students. Because when you come in for the test, obviously you have to use the phrase, you have to spread or you have to open your legs, so...
And you're calling it Spread Early, why?
Because we want to communicate with the students, and we want them to learn more about themselves. And why? And what makes them American citizens?
Wait. See, Ron, and I hate to keep interrupting you.
Well, you're doing a good job. You haven't let me get one sentence in.
No, Ron, hold on. They're going to learn more about themselves, and they're going to learn about being an American citizen.
Yes.
By finding out if they have an STD or they're pregnant.
Yes. And Spread Early and Spread Out.
Well, what is it? Spread Early or Spread Out?
No, it's both. It's Spread Early and Spread Out. That's what we call the program. That's what the students know it as. The parents don't know that because we simply told them we're going to find out if your kid has a disease that eventually will make its way to his brain. I think that's all. Or whether or not she's, you know, you're going to be a grandparent. We try to put it in a way.
You're going to be a grandparent.
We try to put it in a way that is fun for them and that they understand. And I don't know whether or not you know this, Bill, but I had a daughter in the public school system in Los Angeles, California, and Spread Out had started. And my daughter came home and she said, "Dad, today it was Spread Out and Spread Early." And I said, "And what did you learn about yourself?" And she said that I'm infected with an STD. And I said, and we had a wonderful conversation. Isn't that interesting? You know.
And you found out about your daughter had an STD when she came home and said that she had been tested.
Yes. And what are you trying to tell me that I'm supposed to wait for a phone call from the school? Hey, is it okay if we test your daughter to find out if she'll go mad by the age of 30? No, I don't think so.
I don't think, Ron, that they're going to put it that way, are they?
Well,
what school is going to call a parent up and say, is it okay if we find out whether your daughter's going to go mad by the age of 30? What school is going to, they're going to call up and say, we'd like your consent and your permission to test our daughter or to test your daughter.
Well, my wife worked at the admissions office, so it was our daughter. You see, if she would have called, but she didn't call me.
So now you're telling me your wife worked at the school?
Yes, she did.
And she didn't tell you that your own daughter was going to be tested?
No, she did not, because they don't have to tell me anything. They told me at the beginning of the year that the kids had spread, whether they liked it or not. Well, not whether they liked it or not, whether we liked it or not. And I was good with that. And that they didn't have to tell us.
Even though your wife was in the admissions office and knew this stuff was happening?
Well, I don't know. She worked at admissions. I don't know how much those people are told. But she did know, and she kept it from me, because there was no parental notification.
But she was notified.
No, she wasn't. She simply looked over the shoulder of someone who was typing a memo, and she went, oh, look at that. They're going to test the kids. And then the kids come home and tell their parents.
All right, but in no place is this parental consent being given. All it is the kids were tested.
No. It was spread out day.
It was spread out day. I don't understand that.
That's kind of, the kids are, that's what they call it.
I know, but I'm asking Dr. Tarner.
Well, Dickman is right. That's what they call it. And that's so the kids are comfortable with it, you know.
You know, it's really funny. You know, you're talking about whether the kids are comfortable with it. If they simply said, we'll test you to see whether you have an STD, we'll test you to see whether you're pregnant or not, I'm sure that they would get just as many kids coming in and wanting to see or wanting to avail themselves of the test. I don't think they had to. Do they really have to say, hey, it's spread out day, come on in and get tested?
Well, it's better to be on the safe side, I think, Phil, and especially when you're a parent who doesn't know whether your child is going to learn something about themselves today. In this case, yes, whether you're going to be a grandfather. That's the way I look at it. Am I going to be a grandfather? I hope not. I don't want to be a grandfather. It was difficult enough being a father. And if my daughter were to come home and tell me, guess what, you're now going to be a grandfather, you hated being a father, well, you're going to doubly hate being a grandfather because I'm going to have to live here with the kid. And you try to suppress feelings that might lead you, not to hurt your daughter, but might lead you to do damage to your kitchen or your office or wherever you are, put your fist through something, and you're hoping it's not going to be your daughter. It certainly would be your daughter, but you put your fist through someone. And
wait, you're telling me a whole bunch of personal stuff here, man, you know?
About what?
You're telling me all about how if your daughter came home and said, guess what, you're going to be a grandfather, so if you didn't like being a father, you're going to doubly hate being a grandfather. That means she's pregnant.
Yes, but that's what spread out teaches. They tell you, you know, break it to them soft.
Well, Ron, I don't, as a parent, I would be shocked.
Well, because you don't, spread out doesn't mean anything to you.
Spread out means plenty to me, especially since you explained it the way you did. But I'm not going to be happy if my daughter comes home and tells me that she was tested for pregnancy, and, oh, yeah, if you hated being a father, you're going to doubly hate being a grandfather. So I'm told I'm a grandfather.
Would you rather her say, guess what? I got one in the confection of it. And
she's not going to say that, man.
Calm down, Phil.
Well, she's not going to say that. She's going to say, I'm pregnant. And I'm going to say, how do you know? And she's going to say, I got tested at the school. And I'm going to say, you got tested at the school, and I wasn't told. And she's going to say, no.
But in my case, my wife already knew.
Your wife knew because she worked in the admissions office and peeked over the shoulder of somebody that was typing up a memo. That's how your wife knew.
All right, well, lucky shot. You know, good for me.
But the point is, I didn't know anything about it. And then if my daughter or my son comes home and says, I have a blood-borne disease that's going to my brain and could cause early dementia because I'm finding out about myself at school, that's not a good way of breaking. I'm telling you, you're going to have problems with this as parents want to be informed, responsible parents, all right?
Well, what about the fact that if she told me that she was pregnant or that I was going to be a grandfather and I want to destroy a kitchen that I just newly remodeled? Do you think that's a safe thing?
That you're making a point there.
Listen, you just went that because you're nervous, Phil.
No, I'm not nervous. I'm trying to collect my thoughts here.
No, you're nervous because the idea that I may destroy a kitchen I newly remodeled indicates that I might have a violent reaction to my daughter telling me that I'm going to be a grandfather. Do you want a child to be exposed to that? I don't know whether you want to be a child to be exposed to that. I don't want to destroy a kitchen that I had remodeled, yes, by Lowe's, but nonetheless, they did a good job for a change.
And all right, let's not knock Lowe's. They may be one of my sponsors.
I'm sorry?
They might be. The point isn't your kitchen, all right?
I understand that.
The point is, you said that you might have a violent reaction, and in having that violent reaction, you might destroy half of your kitchen that's newly remodeled.
Yeah, I would never hurt my daughter, but it would scare her to see me destroying what Home Depot had worked very hard to put in. That's my only point.
All right, if you're talking about a violent reaction, I understand that, and I know that there are some kids that have to face that by some parents that ought to be in a jail cell. And that has to be worked out. But I don't think coming home to your parents and saying, somebody gave me a pregnancy test.
No. We had spread out.
All right, if we had spread out today and you're going to be a grandfather, I don't know that that's the way to talk about it. But, Ron, I wish you well and keep us informed, will you?
Well, I this is all I know.
I mean, keep us informed to new developments.
There aren't going to be new developments. Spread out is established and spread out is spreading out. You want to know what new schools? I don't know.
All right. 877-876-PHIL. Let me go over here to Anthony in Houston, Texas. Anthony, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. What's on your mind?
What's going on, man? I just want to say one thing. This guy's he's not a very good spokesperson to promote this thing, you know, first off. And I don't know. Yeah, it's good to have, you know, understand what's going on with the kids and try to get them to be safe.
Right.
And, you know,
right.
But it's still parents' consent rules over everything, you know. Like, that's your child. That's your child. You made it. So, I mean, first off, that's ridiculous. And that guy has no brains at all, man.
Well, no, I know. I'm saying the parents are being informed, sir. The parents are being informed through the spread-out program.
No, but are they giving their... Go ahead, Anthony. I'm sorry I interrupted you.
It doesn't need to be informed when they come home. They need to be informed and, you know, parents' consent before it happens. Like, I would want to know if my kid's being tested before you even do it.
Right. But see, my daughter came home and she told me I'm going to be a grandfather, and I wanted to take out an entire kitchen that I spent a lot of money on. That's not a good reaction. I beg your pardon?
You need anger management, first off. That's the case.
Well, what if there are a lot of parents that need anger management? What if there's a parent that wants to, you know, is that music I hear?
Yeah, we got to take a break.
Well, that isn't fair.
Anthony, thank you very much for your call. Yeah, it's plenty fair. Thank you, Anthony, for your call. I appreciate it. Yeah. 877-876-PHIL. That isn't fair. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL. And after the show tonight, we'll have an uncensored podcast on our video feed. We always do uncensored pre-shows and we do uncensored post-shows when we are of a mind, you know, and tonight we'll have one. So it's kind of an extra special night tonight. We did one before the show, doing one and before the show. If you thought our Glenn Beck commentary was interesting during the show, you should have heard the... Well, never mind.
Yeah, you use dirty words and everything. Yeah, you sound like a retard. I'm trying to get the information out.
Yeah, well, spit it out, okay, Jack? Because, you know, I'm burning daylight here, all right? 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Sharon, listening to us in Boston tonight. Sharon, what's on your mind this evening?
Hi, Phil. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much for asking.
I actually was listening to your show last night, and I heard a adopted Indian man speak on the
I heard
that was going on with the Cambridge police officer and Professor Gates. And he basically was trying to say that whatever the issues black people have, it's all in their mind, and they're kind of like creating this cycle of this delusional victimization. And that really, like, got to the core of me because, honestly, I'm only 32. I haven't had great experience with a lot of things that, you know, the elders had to go through back in the 50s and 60s, but it's still prevalent. I mean, I could remember just as recently as being 2021 going down the streets of New York and being frisked by police officers after coming out of work. I mean, it happens. So
of course it does.
That, for him to say that was just completely ignorant. I'm so
well. Can I?
That he was adopted.
Yeah, he was calling for. Yeah, I got to tell you, Sharon, he was calling from Minneapolis, and I and at the risk of upsetting my listeners in Minneapolis, I lived in Minneapolis, St. Paul for a while. I was on a radio there, and I have to tell you, I encountered. They're not going to like me for this. I encountered some jaw-dropping ignorance when it came to race in Minnesota. I had a sportscaster say to me on a station I worked at that the reason why the Minnesota Gophers didn't play good football is they needed to sign more black students. And he thought he was being very open-minded and being very egalitarian. I said, well, what does black have to do with better football? What about better football players? And he thought I was being unfair to him.
Wow.
You know, but this was a guy that had the ear of thousands of people in the city. That guy that I talked to last night, I doubt if that guy was... He was probably some white dude, man, sitting and having himself a Leinenkugel. Anyway, thank you, Sharon, for your call. We'll be back with more on a world-famous Phil Hendry show. Life imitates Phil, coming up next.